Motionless and Empty by Anonymous. Read by Jax Longcoat. A Homestuck Bodfic. Tags include archive warnings for major character death and underage sex. Bro/Dave Strider. Necrophilia. Dry humping. Summary. Dave pitches some dramatics while brooding over the cadaver of a slaughtered loved one. Or, what kind of sick freak pops a boner over his bro's corpse? The body's not as warm as it should be. Like he's been outside for too long in the winter and his blood hasn't yet circulated back into his extremities. Like a hunk of anonymous meat left fully defrosted on some kitchen counter. Like he's been dead for a couple hours. Dave's bro is always unmoving, but he's usually watchful. With his hat knocked aside and shades missing, his closed eyes are in full view. He can't see anything. He can't react to anything. He looks like one of the 100 other guys who swagger their way through 7-Eleven to buy cigs in a six-pack. He doesn't look like a hero at all. Dave kneels next to his brother's corpse. He might have fallen, he doesn't remember. The rocky ground digs into his kneecap through his jeans. It's slightly damp. His bro's blood is seeping into the rough soil. He doesn't know what to do. His bro's unbreakable sword sticks upright, unmoving, out of his chest. It probably goes right through his heart, assuming he has one. His arm lies limply next to his torso, soft and harmless. When Dave nudges it, it flops back to position. Nothing about his bro should flop, Dave thinks. It's almost perverse. Dave inches closer, knees sinking into wet dirt, blood smell coating the insides of his airways. He nudges the arm again. This time it rolls over to reveal an empty palm. Bro's a light sleeper, would be upright and across the room whenever Dave tried a late-night sneak attack in the hopes of catching him off guard. But now his body is open and accepting. His body lets Dave manipulate it. Dave peels his bro's eyelid open to reveal the blank and dull organ beneath. He doesn't think he's seen these eyes before. They're orange. As his bro's head moves slightly from the touch of Dave's fingers, a small trickle of blood escapes his lax mouth. It's so fucking weird to see his bro bleed. It's unnatural, wrong, it upsets the established laws of the universe. It's horribly satisfying. Simultaneous revulsion and mania claw their way up Dave's throat to inject adrenaline into his brain. He's arrived after an extended military coup to find himself placed by the CIA into a dictator's chair, power-tripping and blameless for the carnage. Feeling disconnected from his body, still cognizant enough of his actions that he's screaming at himself the whole time, Dave leans down and licks the corner of his brother's mouth. It tastes like normal blood. It tastes like the same blood Dave wipes from his nose after a strife. It tastes human. His bro's skin is rubbery and too cold under his tongue. The katana rises into the air, a useless grave marker. The ubiquitous white polo might as well have always been red. Somewhere under that layer of soaked fabric is a breach in his bro's shielding. A hole straight through him, to let in swords and bugs and rot and whatever else. He's really, really dead. Dave's heart pounds through his head. His hands are trembling. He's up to his ears in adrenaline with nothing to fight. It feels like his brain itself is teetering on the edge of an unending chasm, about to throw itself into depths unknown. For a second, Dave wishes his bro could tell him what to do. For another second, he exhales shakily, relieved beyond measure that his bro can never tell him what to do again. In a fluid heave, Dave straddles his brother's limp thigh and grabs his shirt. He was going to shake him maybe, slap him, say, "How dare you treat me like that," or "How dare you leave me," but when his weight settles on the lifeless muscle, he realizes his blood rush has been going in two directions. He's hard. What kind of sick freak pops a boner over his bro's corpse? Evidently Dave. This unexpected discovery startles him so much that instead of trying to remove the sword or loot his bro's Silodex or something else useful, he rocks his hips down. Then he does it again. In terms of simple mechanics, it feels good. His shadow casting his bro's face into darkness, the harmless cadaver beneath him, the motionless and empty hand, they're good too. Dave rests his hand on the bloody fabric covering his brother's chest and feels no heartbeat. When Dave humps his bro's leg, the body moves. The torso jerks against the ground. Dave can hear the slick sounds of wet meat rocking along the unbreakable katana. The red pool under them slowly expands. The smell remains as strong. Dave can't stop. He watches as the corpse is jostled according to the increasingly frantic movements of his hips. There's no will or power or grace to the limbs, only simple reactions to applied force. The body's innards scrape against the sword. The body's head rolls listlessly sideways. His bro has never been so malleable, reduced to nothing but flesh. Dave imagines that his bro is awake, that he's simply pinned in place and helpless. That he's watching. Dave looks up at his brother's lolling head to catch a glimpse of one open eye. He comes, holding his breath through gritted teeth, clenching blood-soaked fabric in his fist. He kneels there, panting, until he regains his wits enough to frantically scramble away from the body. His underwear is wet. The corpse looks the same. Like a corpse. The end. Written work posted July 2023, audio recorded May 2025. Thanks for listening.